Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, and I just want to wish all the mothers, all the women, a happy Mother's Day. And you don't have to be a biological mother to be a mother. In fact, we are celebrating Mother's Day because the Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, of Islam, the Prophet of religion, who came 600 years after Christ Jesus said, paradise lies at the mother's feet. The Prophet Muhammad, who came 600 years after Jesus the Christ, said, when a young man asked him, to whom should you love? He said, your mother. The young man asked him again, to whom should you love? He said, your mother. He asked him a third time, said, whom should you love? Your mother. He asked him a fourth time, he said, your father. So what this tells us, that the mother is three-fourths of our development. And in fact, father represents the earth, the material world. When Jesus the Christ said, I must be about my father's business, he was not talking about God being his father. God is never the father of anybody. God creates human beings. He creates animals. He creates the sun. He creates the moon. He creates the stars. God is the creator. But let's look at the mother. And we're going to be joined by Alfred Muhammad II, an inspiring thinker. We might even be blessed to be joined by Brother Imam Qasim Abdul Tawab, coming to us from Daytona Beach, Florida, and the caretaker of the Howard Thurman estate. So you stand by, and all of you who are here in the program, please also text your friend. Encourage your friends to listen to Religion Means Alive. Don't hold back your hands. Don't hold back your work effort. Push. Text. Tell people that we are on the air. And we have an address that we're giving that is addressing the state of African-American people. I'm going to continue with this address by saying to you, why would the Prophet Muhammad tell us about your mother? One of the first books that Imam Waqidin Muhammad came out with was Man and Woman in Islam. Man and Woman in Islam. Now, in fact, the Bible, all scriptures, when it's talking about women, is not really talking about a physical woman. It's describing society. Man means mind. Where's that mind made at? That mind is made in the womb of the mother. For after all, it is the mother that creates the spirit. Well, let me correct that. The spirit comes from Almighty God. The mind, the will, the morality come from mama. And that's why our people sometimes used to sing the song, "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child." What do they mean they felt like a motherless child? They felt like a motherless child because of the fact that they felt they didn't have a society. And we still, as African Americans, don't have a society. Isn't that right? $2.1 trillion. And still, we're like a people walking around with a chick, like a chicken with his head cut off. And I grew up on a farm, small farm, that is. And I've seen a chicken. My mother would wring the head of the chicken, and the body would keep moving. And that's the situation they would like to put us in today. They like to have us a headless body. They like to knock the mosque cares out. They don't want a leadership body for us. They want us to be that motherless child. But Almighty God, in his infinite wisdom, in his infinite understanding of our situation, has been so merciful to us that he's given this motherless child, this orphan, guidance. And so we have the mother, the mental, the moral and spiritual direction being given to us. And the first time I heard from a Muslim leader, Happy Mother's Day, was Mother's Day 1975. I said, this is a new leader. We didn't celebrate Mother's Days in the Nation of Islam. We didn't celebrate any of those days. We didn't celebrate the 4th of July. Obviously, we didn't celebrate Christmas. Obviously, we didn't celebrate Easter. But we didn't celebrate any national holiday, no Father's Day, none of that, until the coming of Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad that mothered in a new society. And someone told me when I was a young imam, very young, they said, "Brother Imam, you have to develop your feminine nature." I said, "Wow, I ain't no homosexual. What do you mean develop my feminine nature?" But the word Imam actually means the mother nature. You know why we are so bereft of social grace, social consciousness, is because of the fact we don't have enough mother nature in our society. We don't have enough mother nature and compassion and love. Now, I know this is the first Sunday, second Sunday, and this emphasis is on business. But I must tell you that if you are going to have business, we got to see the factors that are blocking us from having business life. And what it is, because we don't have the mother nature in us. We don't have the nature of nurturing each other, the compassionate nature. That's what blocks us from being business people. It is not that we don't have an economy. It is not that we don't have resources. We have more resources than Nigeria. We have more resources than Uganda. We have more resources than even Canada. But yet we are at the bottom of a world in productivity and creating jobs for ourselves and owning our own lives. Instead, we have our political people. They are condemning the Koch brothers. They are condemning Citizens United. Why? Because they don't have a business life. We're still begging and badgering others to do for us that we can do for ourselves. And then Muslims are wondering why they don't have a business life. Perhaps we need to examine the fact that we don't have a mothering in us. We don't have the nurturing nature in us. We don't have that. And sometimes I feel like a motherless child. I see our dear brother Poet is on the line. If he would press one on the line, I think he's on the line. We'd love to hear some poetry and some comments from him. And I'm just going to be straight up honest with you and tell you that I'm pushing hard see that we have a highly successful convention Labor Day weekend. If Brother Edward Aziz is in the house, press one on the phone. We'd love to hear some poetry. This is Mother's Day. We're celebrating Mother's Day. But we're really celebrating society. We're really celebrating. In the Bible, it speaks of three women. Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, which is a spiritual society. And then we have Mary, the mother of James. What is Mary the Mother of James? Mary the Mother of James represents the established leadership. And then Mary Magdalene, or the social drifting people. All of these three societies are presented in Scripture as three types. So we're going to have some comments from Brother Alfred Muhammad II, who's going to make a presentation. We may be followed by a couple other people, and then I will come back to continue the main address. Brother Alfred Muhammad II.
Good afternoon, and assalamu alaikum. My dad today was, I want to continue off of what my dad said, and I don't know what the topic is today, but it's not, yeah, business, there we go. And it sounded like it was more of like a business slash community life kind of thing for as the topic for the program today. And my dad talked about what's blocking us. Imam Alfred Muhammad was talking about what's blocking us African Americans and black people in general from getting there and getting to that point. And a lot of it has to do with a culture. A lot of it has to do with what we think about ourselves. And it's just a lot of things play a factor into us not being able to succeed. And a lot of it just basically has to do with, for the most part, with loving yourself. African Americans as a whole, I feel as though they really don't like each other. You know, they always have, I feel like we have a subconscious thought that lingers in our head. That makes us hate each other, and you see it all the times in the street. You see it with these killings, and you see it with these people fight at black on black violence with people African Americans, young African Americans, my age, 17 years old, and down all the way down to like maybe 14, 13, and on up to like I don't know, all the way up to you late 30s maybe. Those are, and you see people doing that and killing each other mainly because they do not like each other. If you love someone, why would you kill someone? It doesn't make sense. So that is blocking us from creating businesses. And that goes what I just said as far as killing someone and killing other people. That goes against the very fabric of the business. Business, when you create a business, when you set up a business, you need to work together with someone. You need to work in tandem with someone. You need to be able to talk to others and just basically be around other people. And you need to be able to work together, teamwork. I always say when I'm in school, when I need help with stuff with other people, I say teamwork makes the dream work. If you don't got teamwork, you can never get anything accomplished. Look at all these Fortune 500 companies. You got Microsoft, you got Microsoft, you got Apple, you have all these Best Buy, Target, Walmart, all these Fortune 500 companies. They don't come together, do not without unity. They aren't I'm pretty sure they argue on the board and everything. They argue with each other, or whatever. They disagree, but they respectfully disagree. When they disagree, they don't want to kill each other and rip each other's heads off because the other person is wrong. They say, okay, I disagree. They might try to jam them up a little bit. That's corporate America. But at the same time, they do it for the greater good to keep their company afloat. And that's what we have to be about if we want to succeed as a people. We have to be about the greater good. Stop if someone owes you $20 from 20 years ago, and he comes to you and later on he's like, hey, let's start a business. And y'all been cool. You completely forgot about the $20. This is just an example. You completely forgot about the $20 from 15 years ago. Start getting, give the person a chance. Give that person, is your brother. Give him a chance. Try to work something out with him and try to create something bigger than yourself. Because when you create something bigger than yourself, you get huge goals and you get huge accomplishments. And I feel as though if we were to come together as a people and we were to create a business, then who's to say that we cannot be up there with our people? I mean, we cannot be up there with those Fortune 500 companies, you know. The second thing I would like to talk about, too, as far as, you know, why we can't succeed is because succeed as far as businesses. And we have actually, you know, just to stray away from that for a little bit, we do have a lot of businesses out there that are doing their own thing, a lot of African-American businesses that are out there doing their own thing as far as businesses and out there getting their own. Now, just to give them credit, because we're not all of us are failing to establish that. But also, to come back to my point, the second reason why African-Americans have trouble establishing a business is because we believe that we can't do it. African-Americans don't believe that they can do it because we don't feel as though I don't know how to put it, but I guess we don't feel as though we're American in a sense. Now, just to give you a background, a quick, you know, history lesson right quick. I'm a history buff myself. I know a lot about history, I like to think. Our pretty much African-Americans and black people in general really built this country. We built this country. The White House was built by us. These tunnels were built by us. The GWB was built by us. When they were building these bridges and basically the country's infrastructure, they did not build it. They did not just send any old person down there. They sent us first. We were we were test dummies pretty much, but they sent us first. So we literally built this country. So if we built this country, well, why can't we get our own out here in this country? I always tell people, I say, yeah, African Americans have been done dirty in this country, you know, in the United States. We have problems with segregation. We were held in slavery for 400 years. Yeah, yes, all of that is true. But the fact of the matter is we have a lot more opportunities than we have had before. So now we have to, instead of complaining and getting mad, yes, police shootings are terrible. They are horrible, and I'm condemning those people fully. But we got to go out here and get our own. The time is now. I always say that I didn't believe the founding fathers are great because, not yes, they had slaves, but I don't believe in the founding fathers, the people. I believe in what the founding fathers believed in, their concept. Think about it. America is a place where people can come from anywhere, across all different backgrounds around the world, and come together and come out here and get their own. There are races and ethnicities all across the world, Indians, Japanese, Chinese, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Haitian, Ghanaian, Nigerian. There are people, Russian, English. There are people coming from all across the world getting their own, fulfilling the American dream. And don't buy into what people say about the American dream. Oh, the American dream is dead. No, the American dream is not dead. The American dream is just more competitive. It's a lot more people out here trying to fight for their spot. It's kind of like what the imam said. Race is not actually race. It is a race to get to the goal. Of course, if a person sees that a black person is coming up trying to take his spot, what is he going to do? Knock you out of the race. That's what a race is. Now, I'm pretty sure, yes, race comes with some stupid stuff too, like, oh, calling African Americans, oh, he looks like this, he looks like that. But that's just coming to put you down. We cannot be fazed by that. We have to go out here and get our own. So, one, we have to work together. We have to stop hating each other. I know I myself find myself sometimes, you know, getting jealous of another black man. But you have to fight it. When you get jealous of another person, you have to fight it. You have to go against your very own logic and your subconscious thinking, because I know when I'm running track and I tell my parents sometimes when I'm running track and I see another person doing better than me, running faster than me, I get kind of upset. Of course, that's just a competitive, that's the competitive nature in me. You know, I get angry, but at the same time, you want to be happy for your fellow, you know, your fellow guy doing well. You know, you shouldn't hate him or shun him for him doing well. We have to stop that. And second, we have to exercise our rights as Americans. Yes, there are roadblocks. Yes, there are people who don't want us to succeed. But that is what the race is all about. It's about getting to a goal. It's about starting up your own thing, doing what you have to do to succeed. We have it, ladies and gentlemen. We have it. We got the religion. I wouldn't say we have the religion because there are Christians, too, who probably have the same concept as me. So I'm not going to generalize it. Well, not generalize it. I'm not going to, I can't figure out the word for it. But I'm not just going to place the emphasis strictly on Islam because it's not a religion thing. And I'm not going to say racial either. It's what we believe as a people, African Americans. We believe that we can't do it. We believe that we're not fully American. We have to exercise our rights as Americans, second. And when we do those, I believe that there are a lot of other things out there. There are a lot of other problems that we have as a people. We subconsciously, we don't believe that we can do it. We look in the mirror and we say, why not just let so-and-so, John Morgan from around the corner have it? No, you got to go get it. Go get your own. Be competitive. Be hungry. This country is not easy to get things anymore, but you can still get it. So when we exercise these two things and we do what we have to do as a people, I believe that we can get where we have to go. The third thing that I wanted to touch on as well, as far as, you know, establishing business sites, is something that Imam W.D. Muhammad talked about as well. And it's also something that I hear people around me talk about as well. And it is community life. Now, community life, I feel, brings all of the one and two. It brought all of those things together. It brings them all together full circle. The Imam talked about it. And he called it New Africa. And what community life basically means is that it brings us together as a people, and community life basically pumps us up. When you have community life, you have African Americans working together. You have African Americans doing certain things in order to achieve a certain goal. You have African Americans seeing past the smaller picture and getting to the bigger picture. You got African Americans creating towns, not just businesses, but towns. You got them creating cities, running cities. You have politicians, doctors, lawyers, all African American. That's not being racist in any way. That's just going out and getting your own. That is what it's about, and that's what the Imam was talking about. People make the Imam out to be an extremely religious figure. They make it seem like he was up in the stars, and he was religious. He knew a lot about the religion. But at the same time, the Imam towards the latter part of his life and what he was talking about, and not really the latter life, really in the middle of his career, you know, as far as the mosque cares, he talked a lot about business life and community life. You know, he talked about building community life and bringing things really full circle. And I think it's kind of ironic that he was cut short, you know, when he was just getting ready to talk about that. The CPC was exactly what I was talking about. It's exactly what I was talking about before. Many people didn't support the CPC. Why didn't they support the CPC? Because they weren't able to look past the smaller picture, and they generalized a lot of the things that the Imam did and a lot of the people who supported the Imam, and there was a lot of inner quarrel and a lot of just like an inner fight. But see, we have to look past that. Even if you don't like the CPC, if you want to start a business, bring other people in it. Get other people in the pot so we can all, as you know, my generation says, so we can all eat, so we can all come together and do what we have to do as a community. So that's the third thing, community life. The first is basically, you know, loving yourself and loving others around you. The third is exercising your right. I believe exercising your right as American. I mean, you go out here and just get in your own. And third is community life. Community life brings all those three things really full circle. So I feel when that can be done, then we can really get to where we need to be. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on area code 616, and he is going to take it from here. And then I believe after that, my father's going to follow up with a couple of remarks throughout the broadcast. So here we are. Wait. Area code 616.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. You are on Religion Means a Lot.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Thank you, Alpha Junior. You remember me. I saw you at the convention. Edward Abdelaziz from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah, I remember you.
Wa alaikum assalam. It was so great sitting here listening to you and your aspirations and the track running and your competitive energy. And that's good. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And it's really, really great to hear you to expound on the great wisdom that you have and the vision that you have to see that in our communities that all we have to do is go out there and get it because the pavement, the foundation has been laid. And I really thank you for that insight for a young brother, young energetic brother. You know, I just want to say to you to keep that spirit, keep that same spirit that you have today and that vision that you have today. And believe me, as our beloved leader, the Imam, say after hearing his young people speak, he says, I sleep well at night. You know, I'm very comfortable with what I hear from you and your energy and your competitive edge and the vision that you have and the history and the knowledge of the history that our foreparents went through. So thank you, thank you, thank you very much. And I thank your father and your great mother for the great work that they've done with you and done for you. So may Allah continue blessing you. I'm not going to be long. I'm just going to do a poem and I wrote a poem about Sister Clara Muhammad. It's Mother's Day, and this is a tribute to a great mother, our beloved leader, the Imam W.D. Muhammad. And I was reading a book. I got some poetry that I written, but I was reading a book in her spirit by one of the granddaughters of Sister Clara Muhammad, Sister Halima Muhammad Ali. And in that book, there's a poem called A Legacy Inherited. A Legacy Inherited. I just want to say one thing that the importance of mother. It was asked to our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, you know, who was important in our life? And he said, your mother. And then it was asked again, who's next? He said, your mother. Then he asked again, who's next? He said, your mother. And then he said, then your father. So dear believers, dear people on the Religion Means Alive, you know, let us not forget that. And let us remember that paradise lies at the feet of mother. And we had a great mother in Sister Clara Muhammad. Also, this poem was written in the book of Sister Clara Muhammad. It's called A Legacy Inherited. And she said, I'll be as dead as a doorknob, Sister Clara exclaimed, before I let you pick on them, her children, calling them out of their names. Reading about little Sambo, laughing at him because he's black. Using your treacherous psychology to hold these children back. No, I won't send any of my children to your devilish schools where freedom, justice, and equality for them is an exception of your rules. Where no matter how many pages they turn, nor how many times they look, the images, pictures, and readings are negative stereotypes in all of your books. So you sent your truant officers, threatened to take my children away, sent a legal notice stating we had to appear in court on a certain day. With firm faith, we never sent our children to the public schools again. Taking such a courageous stand is how the homeschool movement began. Muslim students all over the nation gathering at homes where they were taught. Then we searched, pooled our money, and found some buildings that we bought. For freedom to teach our children, there was a heavy price that we paid. Muslims put all their trust in Allah to get through the many sacrifices they made. Why such tremendous investments? What was going to be the ultimate return? God-conscious, excellent human beings in an environment where they could learn about Allah, Prophet Muhammad, the Quran, Al-Islam, and science. Concerning cleanliness, good behavior, and manners, students had to be in compliance. Respect for parents, teachers, self, and others, discipline, property, and health, where assurity was the rule of the day so we could establish collective wealth. The University of Islam, schools emerging in particularly every major city and state, changed to the Clara Muhammad Schools in recognition of the martyr's sake. As the schools grew from level to level, then came Wadiuddin Muhammad High, where the tradition and legacy are inherited by generations whose aspirations are going beyond the sky. This was a leader. This was the mother of our beloved leader, the Honorable Imam Deputy Muhammad, the wife of the sister of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a sister who stood up and defied the truant officers coming to her door, threatening to take her children and put them in public school. So, brothers and sisters, I just wanted to dedicate that to the mother of our beloved leader, the Honorable Imam Deputy Muhammad, and I want to thank you, Imam Alford, and thank you for this wonderful program, Religion Means Alive, and back to you, dear Imam Alford. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Brother Edward Aziz, and I love you, and I will never forget you. Meet you on the fish force of the 153rd between Riverside Drive and Broadway. And I said to myself, I said, this is such a sincere brother, pure-hearted brother. I don't want to kill his spirit, but I do want to make him aware of the snakes that are inside our organization, which was not, and that was around 1973. I woke up to the steam that they had against us. Thank you, and I love you dearly. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Continuing our address, I want to now turn our attention to what Jesus Christ said. But before returning to what Jesus Christ said, I want to tell you what Quran says. That is the book that came 600 years after Christ Jesus. I want the Muslims in this audience to know that this program is primarily to introduce Al-Islam in a social dimension to the general public and to familiarize or re-familiarize Muslims with what our religion core is. And we have chosen to follow Imam Muhammad's pattern. The word surah means a picture. Surah, picture. And Imam Muhammad has given us a very clear picture language, a very clear understanding of religion. And religion, about 40 years ago, this month, he gave an address called Religion Means Alive. Religion means alive. Alive. Life. Let's now go to what God says in the Quran. He says, and we're not going to minimize the Arabic, we just don't want to quickly, we're not rushing and fluently in it, but you should learn the Quran in the language that God gave it in. That's your inheritance. Don't put it down. But also, don't hold yourself up. You don't know it. Go with what you do know. But remember what God says. Seek with what means he has made available to you the future life. Not just the life, the future life, the akhirah. It doesn't mean just the life after you dead, or the next life that we believe as believers, Christians, Muslims, and Jews, and others believe that there's another life, that God can wrap this up, and there's going to be another dimension. We don't fully know. We shouldn't even spend too much time finding them. But what we should understand is for our purposes, is the future life. And God says, but don't forget your share of the material world, futuristic and the present world, the future and the present, the spiritual in the material, the idea in the reality. Those are the two concepts that you should see in picture language. Then God raises another question with us. Who told you that these things are not for you? And he says, they're for everyone, But for you in the next life, they will be exclusive. We also believe once Satan is destroyed, not chained for 1,000 years, the man is on his way to a period of bliss. We're going to defeat the Satan. And that's why God gave the great Mujaddid, the mega Mujaddid, the Mahdi, the power to destroy the Satan. And we're making a small down payment on wiping him out. If you can remove envy, if you can remove jealousy, if you can remove hatred and rancor of each other, the people that follow Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad should be like one bond. We shouldn't be bad-mouthing each other. We shouldn't be envious. We shouldn't be jealous. If we're critiquing each other, we should be critiquing each other in the spirit of forgiveness, in the spirit of mercy, not in the spirit of niggerism. And then the Bible, which the Quran had already answered, the Bible says, whosoever what a man soweth, so shall he reap it. But another verse it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. I want to talk on how we can obtain the material world, become a competitive force, and we are continuing smashing the Willie Lynch syndrome. This is our topic. We're going to be on it for a while because everybody wants to know. Every Muslim, every Christian, every African American all want the same thing. We definitely want it. We want a material world. We want to be able to have jobs. We want to have our own school. We really want New Africa. That's the vast majority of us. Some would rather complain. Some would rather whine. Some would rather bitch. Some would rather moan about we don't have it. Some others are even willing to work for it, but doesn't know why it is eluding them. Then others are just giving up and don't believe it can happen. But then there are others of us who may get discouraged, but we're going to stay in the fight until we accomplish it. So we're going to talk about the impediments. Sometimes people can talk about the goal, yeah, let's have business. Let's have business. Let's have business. But you don't know what is blocking you from having the kind of business life. And Imam Muhammad said he at first wanted to situate us. From the time he came in office, he wanted to get us back in the right perspective. Because we had airplanes. We had shipping lines. We had our own truck lines. We had our own land, food, clothing, shelter. We had all of that. But why did we lose it? Why were we able to keep it? Because there was something wrong with our sense of righteousness. There was something wrong with our spirit toward each other. We didn't have enough mother in us. We didn't have the spirit that married the mother. We didn't have the spirit, the mother of Jesus. We didn't have the spirit, the mother of James. But we had the spirit of the mother of Delilah. The spirit of Mary Magdalene. We came in with a slick mind. Slickness took us over. We were just looking to get the money from the lost found to fleece our people. That's what the leadership had. And in fact, that's what the membership had. We didn't have any problem selling defective products to our people. We didn't have problems cheating of each other. We didn't have a problem abusing each other. Even with a material, even though we didn't have what they claimed we had. They said we were the $80 million empire. That made our heads bigger than what we really had. But no one can tell me about the Nation of Islam. It's a business operation. I sat at the top seat of the leadership, and I had to clean up after the leadership of the Nation of Islam had become corrupted. I witnessed 1 million papers a week being sold and bought from Chicago. I witnessed people being physically abused for not selling those papers. I witnessed the Fish Force corrupting the leadership, and they forgot about the common membership. Happy Mother's Day. There was no maternal instinct in the leaders. There was no mercy in the leaders. And consequently, many of us didn't have any mercy to our people and to our customers. And we blew the material world, not because we couldn't gain the material world, because we wanted to follow the Black Power Syndrome. We didn't want business. Don't tell me I'm going to get money. I'm going to get the spirit. I'm about getting paid. Don't ever have that spirit. Have the spirit that you're going to serve God. Have the spirit. And if you have that spirit, you can't break the bonds of friendship. You can't break the bonds of trusteeship. You can't break the bond of love for your people. And you'll get wealth for God's sake. In the sense that you, God's sake, not that God needs anything for you, but you want to be satisfied with God has put in your nature to be the best human being on earth, and you will serve the material world. You have to be very careful. And I watched the Nation of Islam go through this. Well, we were trying to act like moguls. Well, we were trying to act like the sycophants of the tycoons. Don't model yourself up to any society. That's why God tells us in the Quran, Malikin Nas, that God is the king of the people. Don't look toward the Warren Buffett. Don't look toward the Paul Allen. Don't look toward any of those people for guidance. Look towards God. Look towards what Muhammad has said. And look towards what your leader, Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad, has established for you in the thought. The only reason we haven't been successful with Imam Muhammad is because we refuse to pick up the plow. The plow. And plow the earth. And accept the responsibility of being the husband. The husband. That's what we have missed. And we recite over and over again, Allahu Akbar. But yet, we can cuss our brother out. We can describe our brother. We can't hold our impulse. We can't hold our anger. We can't hold our feelings. Now, I'm going to have to tell you something here today. I don't want to name him now, but there's a leader here in the United States that may not be very equipped, may not be very articulate. But that leader has been successful because he's held on to Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad, and not because of his predecessor. Because he has followed to go the best pattern in his own soul and gone to work. And I pray a lot that he be a greater and greater and greater and greater leader. I'm not prepared to name him yet. But he's constructing and building community life. That's what we have to have. We have to have community life. But we cannot have community life until we are willing to pick up the tools and plow our souls and get out of the weed of envy, get out of the weed of jealousy, get out of the weed of deception, get out of the toothlessness towards each other. Choose the best qualified from among you and follow them. That's what we have to have as a people. That's what we have to have as an ethnic group. He can't have us wanting to get into Islam because we want to look down upon them niggas. We can't have the spirit that we want to get into Islam and that I'm initiating Imam Muhammad and the rest of them dumb Muslims ain't nothing. We have to see ourselves as servants with the spirit of Mama. Mama would sacrifice her life for her children. That's the kind of servant class that we must have. That's what we call leaders, servants. And then we have to have people who are willing to support and follow those leaders. God bless me because I've committed to Imam Waqidin Muhammad. And I seek success coming to us. And I'm not going to be satisfied until we're able to put men back on the streets, going door to door, neighborhood to neighborhood, producing products and developing a community life. I'm sitting with a religious group Wednesday, and they too have been persecuted in America. I won't name them. But they have been able to put down their differences. They have differences. Every group have differences. We can't do it. We don't like because you did this. We don't like because you did that. And we right away, we ready to throw everything good away. Let's not be like that. Let's not be a people that's able to tie up the whole bucket of milk just because we didn't like that the cow passed gas. That's what some of us are doing. That's the spirit that some of us have. A destructive spirit. Some of us are so full of envy and jealousy as a people, even Muslims, we can't see another brother becoming a billionaire in the meat business. We can't see another brother becoming a billionaire in the shoe business. Oh, that nigga, man, he's selling drugs, man. I don't know when he was doing that. That's envy and jealousy. Fight that. As God says, mouth deep for hire. Die so you may live. And my translation is de-niggerize yourself and nigger-proof yourself from the kind of niggardry that blocks you from having success in this life. And so your children's children won't be dependent upon Indians, Arabs, and others who may succeed you if you don't wake up. Negroes, wake up. Colored folk, wake up. Black folk, wake up. Those of you who call yourself Elias, wake up and accept full responsibility for your life. To whom should you love? Your mother. Well, what is that telling us? Your society. Yes, the first society is a society of your own home. And we got to heal the relationship between African-American men and women. Continuing the theme of Women Lynch. How do you break these things? Because you talk to yourself. You write notes to yourself. You put things on the wall that says, I'm going to be kind to myself. I'm going to be kind to my mother. I'm going to lower my wings to each other. I'm telling you, the only way you are able to get to the promised land. And what is the promised land? The promised land is an opportunity, as Alfred Muhammad II said. Well, he's really not the second. His name is Alfred Yusuf Muhammad. So I won't claim him as a second. He's Alfred Muhammad. And I made sure I named him Alfred Muhammad. My other children had first names Muslims. And those who didn't legally change their name to Muhammad when I got the name in 1975, we just neglected. They already had Muslim names. Names, not Muslim names, other than slave first names. Nothing wrong with Alfred. Nothing wrong with John. Nothing wrong with William. Nothing wrong with Mary. But we didn't want slave names. Booker was never my name. One time in the deposition, a lawyer asked me, did you use any other name other than Alfred Muhammad? I said, yes, I used the name of the slave master. Booker didn't own me. Culpepper didn't own me. Brown didn't own me. Desmond didn't own me. I used his name. We never accepted to be owned by them, even though they have us registered at the courthouse as chattel property. You should never forget that. That's no more than 150 years ago. You were just let out of chattel slavery. That should be in your mind every day. You should remember that. You should have your children's children remember that. I don't care. You should not allow your children. I don't care what your children say. I wouldn't be satisfied with any of my children, mine outside of my own ethnic group. I don't care. I still say it. Even though I may have one in my family that's doing it, I'm never going to approve it. I don't care whether they're Muslims, I don't care whether they're Christians. I want them to marry another African American to keep that bloodline fresh and committed to the struggle to establish African American people. And one day we will get strong enough and committed enough and determined enough to call ourselves by an independent name, Bilalian. I am about my Father's business. Jesus said I must be about my Father's business. Again, I want to repeat that to my Christian friends. God is not Abba. That's Hebrew or Semitic language for Abu in Arabic, Abba in Aramaic. God is the creator. They analogize him as father. We as Muslims cannot use that terminology. Never. I heard a Muslim say, oh, father. No, God is never your father. The earth is your father. And if you dig in it, it will produce for you just like it produced for every other people. When you come down to earth out of mama, you got to go to the father. And in fact, the father plants his seed in mama. But mama is responsible for 3/4 of your development. I hope you all register this and picture language. And I hope you speak to those voices that are inside of you that's telling you that you're worthless, that are telling you that you're useless, that are telling you to have for your people. Admit that you have those voices. Don't deny it. Even if you can't conscientiously feel the envy, even if you can't conscientiously feel the jealousy, even if you can't conscientiously feel the rancor, even if you can't conscientiously feel the hatred and contempt that starts in your soul, first in your mind. And Imam Muhammad said you will never rest until your soul is rested. And your soul can never be rested until your mind is rested. And your mind can never be rested until you have dealt pain, the rancor that's in your mind of those experiences that you've had. And you can counteract those horrible conditions, those horrendous spirits, those horrendous will and experiences that you've had. We're still on business. We're not going to get away from business. Some of us think that the way to deal with the African-American problem is to be a beggar or a bar, to go and beg some other people to let us stay in our neighborhood. We think the way out is we get a degree and we can get out of our neighborhood and get out, and that's where we have the dignity. No, you'll still be a beggar. You'll still be a pleader. You'll still be asking somebody else to do for you that what you can do for yourself. And that's why there's contempt on the part of other people towards us. Accept that. Accept that everything is just racism, white supremacy. A lot of it is people have contempt. Yes, white supremacy has been the father and mother of it. But you're accepting an inferiority complex. You're accepting of an inferior condition. your acceptance of the lack of the progress in the material world, your acceptance of that you have an absolute right, irrevocable right to irresponsibility, and that the white man owes you something, that the white man should create jobs for you. You're educated, and you're begging the white man to create jobs for you. I talked with some African-Americans. I said, the for-profit school business, we're in it. One man who worked in the school business. He didn't have the courage, the physical fortitude to pull himself together and said, let's work together and let's buy a for-profit college. He didn't have that kind of courage, not that fortitude, but he would rather complain, bitch, and moan about what Caucasians won't give him. Get together with others and work and create your own institution. And shut up and stop complaining about what people are not doing for you. Get the wherewithal to examine your situation, to look at your situation, to analyze your situation collectively and individually, and wonder why we're behind the eight ball. And when we look at it, we are bringing right back to self-hatred, self-destruction, and self-loathing. We can, will, and must do better to compete in the world of reality. Yes, the American dream is not out of your reach. Oh, I don't buy that Horatio Alger. That's a lie. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad showed it. He got out of jail for charges they brought against him that was false. He wasn't even supposed to register with the draft. They locked him up. It was one of the biggest blessings in the world. He was in the prison at Milan, Michigan, and he observed the productivity of a farm. And he came out and he bought a farm. He observed the organization of the prison stores. And he came out and he opened the store. Didn't know anything about cutting meat. He didn't wait to get 50 degrees. He didn't wait to read thousands of books. He didn't wait to go and get an MBA. He waited on his nature. He went into his own mind, into his own spirit. And he called together his followers and said, we got to show something. And lo and behold, the Michigan farm was purchased. A grocery store was opened up. A meat store was opened up. He had to learn. Had to read charts and read books. That's what we need. We need an Honorable Elijah Muhammad experience who believed in his self-work and called together others. Cut off people that put you down. Cut off people that snatch down the vision you have. And work with those who accept to follow you, the tendencies in yourself for self-destruction. Understand it has been breathed in you. It has been breathed the spirit in you. Understand that that spirit will come firstly from the religious community. Mary, the mother of Jesus, society of religion, would tell you from the Islamic world, forget about the material world. While they open up pharmacies, while they open up chicken spots, while they open up that, they tell you don't worry about it, and they'll finance that ulema, and you will only be making no progress. Watch out for Mary, the mother of Jesus, from our Christian people who believe in apocalyptic theology. What do I mean by apocalyptic theology? They will believe that the world is going to end. This is the end time. And now Muslims will believe there's an end time. So if you believe in the end time, why should you work? Why should you progress? Why should you open up businesses? Why should you make development? Why should you build community life if the world is going to end? What about the threat to Mary, the mother of Jesus? Mary, the mother of James. Mary, the mother of James, the established order, the intellectual and governmental quarters. In the intellectual quarters, we want to analyze. We want to examine. We want to scrutinize knowledge for knowledge's sake. All kinds of studies. And I'm not knocking studies. We need them. But for the purpose of establishing community, I know people are just flooded with every state in the world, but they can't muscle themselves up and force themselves out on the street to make some money for themselves. They can't force themselves to get with another group of people and develop something. There are people in our community that got all kinds of knowledge, all kinds of information. They read books every day, but they can't muscle their way out and force themselves to shut up and work with somebody. And what we have is rancor, wrangling, anger, and everything else. We see Cornel West fighting with Michael Irvin Dyson. This one's fighting with that one. This one, but they can't get together and even open up one damn classroom. Muslims at Harvard University, Muslims at Yale University, they can't get together and develop even an Islamic studies department. Yet there are 2.5 million Muslims for Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad community, and we brag that we're working for somebody else. And that we have faculty members at somebody else's place. Build your own institutions. Own your own schools. Be responsible for your own life. Marry the mother of James. And you let others do your intellectual thinking. Huh? But that can never happen till we have a robust business community. We should have a business community so robust that we couldn't have a place big enough to seat all of our senior citizens and all of the people who poor, who should be able to come to the convention by hundreds of thousands. Where's our business people? Our business people have too little motivation. They want money so they can come and rain down on us. Look at us, brag and show off. Wear a great big old hat. We have to have business in our lives for the purpose of establishing them. Tuskegee Institute should be competing with MIT. Huh? There's enough African Americans out here that graduated from Tuskegee School of Veterinary Medicine, that graduated from Tuskegee's various schools. Tuskegee by now should even have a medical school, a law school. We should have at least 20 medical schools by now. There's enough of us to do that. I would love to be an academic sitting back. I'd love to be somewhere at Oxford University. I'd love to be at a university of our own. After all, Jerry Falwell did it, right? He's from Lynchburg, Virginia. He built an institution from scratch. And we got 2.5 million Muslims. And Imam Muhammad's Association, if they took the money that they go to the movies and said we want to build a universal system, overnight we could do it. But you got to have a mind. You got to have a spirit. You got to take the commitment of Mary, who said, how can I give birth to a child when there's no father? Listen, that you can have a burden creation that hasn't been sanctioned by Harvard, hasn't been sanctioned by Oxford, hasn't been sanctioned by the University of Chicago, been sanctioned by your own soul, and you'll be just like Mary. Ajib! What a wonder. What an astonishing thing to happen. Now, as our Christian friend says, make a way out of no way. Have that spirit, but not the spirit where we are established, where we have the boule societies, but believe that we should spend money and energies just showing up. I don't object if you want to do that. But remember, the thing that would stop more Freddie Grays, stop more Eric Garners, stop more Ray Rays, stop more Keishas, stop more Stinky, stop more murders that we are committing on each other. If we had some models other than basketball, football, and sports figures, that we had models of rich, successful business people who have become hot dog kings, who have become burger kings, chicken kings, God says he is the Malikinaz, the Rabba Malikinaz. He would take us from one thing to the next and bring it to completion if we believe in him being the Rabbil Alameen, the Rabbil Alameen, the Rabbil Nas, that he nurtured and complete a thing and take it to perfection. You all should read the Quranic dictionary and read what the word Rabba means. Read that it means one who takes something from its beginning, take it all the way to its perfection. That's what God says. That's the definition. That's why I tell you the Quranic definitions are so powerful. Let that go into your soul. Let that go into your mind. Let that go into your spirit. Let that go into your will. Let that go into your body. Let it feel it. That God is the Rabbil Alameen. Huh? He is the nurturer. He is the one that brings us from one stage to another and bring it to our perfection. Dear beloved people, let's understand something. That one of the threats to our business life is many of our business people are consumed, this is Muslim too, with Mary the mother, Mary Magdalene, the wow society. I saw it in the Nation of Islam. I saw the Nation of Islam being consumed with chinchosu. I saw the Nation of Islam being consumed with mink coats. I saw the Nation of Islam leadership being consumed with those concepts. And you know what, dear people? That cut us down. Gator shoes. I don't knock luxury, but I first want to see us meet our obligations. If you're a business person, make sure you're paying your people the right wages. Make sure you're paying your people benefits. Don't follow the hustler syndrome. I want it all for myself. I hope it's registering with you the things that blocks us from establishment. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about things that block us from establishment. We're talking about things that block us from having the success that God intends for us to have. Mary Magdalene. Now, we have to tell our people, we have to clean up. Stop the waste. You go to any one of our neighbors on Martin Luther King Boulevard or anywhere thereof, and you'll find long lines of us playing lotto. Why don't we tell our people, that's what's stopping us from establishment, from having establishment. Why don't we tell our people, that's what creates conditions for people coming to our neighborhoods to kill us. Because when a people don't value themselves, when they gamble our resources away, people don't have respect for you. Now, you don't like to hear this. I know you don't like to hear it. I don't care whether you don't like to hear it. But I'm telling you what's going to get us strong. If I were in Baltimore in Sandtown, I would be telling the people that. So, Brother Imam, you wouldn't tell them that. Yes, I would. That's why I used to tell them when I was a resident imam there. Well, you see, you're not there now. Maybe that's why they didn't want me there. But it wasn't them. It was the crooked, deceptive, rotten leaders from among us and the crooked, rotten, deceptive people from the establishment that know if we clean our people up, dress our people up in the dress of righteousness, dress our people up in the dress of responsibility, dress them up in the dress of establishment, they will no longer be cannon fodder for the Pakistanis. They will no longer be cannon fodder for the Arabs. They will not be cannon fodder for anybody. They will be cannon fodder for the left. They will be cannon fodder for the right. They will be independent people. There's enough people in the Baltimore, Washington area to make the little efforts that we made in the Nation of Islam look like child's play. Child's play. We should have airports. We should have our own airlines, just right there even in Baltimore. We should have our own schools right there in Baltimore. We should say to the state government, we'll take responsibility for Coppin State. We'll take responsibility for Sojourner Douglas. We will take responsibility for Morgan State University. You don't have to be a state university no more. We'll abide and establish it. That's the memorial you can do. Well, to Freddie Gray. That's the memorial you can do to Eric Garner. Open up grocery stores, but you'll never get these grocery stores. You'll never get these convenience stores. You'll never get these chicken stores until you're able to put down the envy, put down the jealousy, put down the lying, put down the wastefulness, put down the destructive behavior that you have towards each other. Stop knocking leadership that can help you. God has given me vision how to bring this community together. Yes, I'm proud to say my leader is Imam Wahbuddin Muhammad II. Yes, because Imam Muhammad put Mosque Cares over us. That's the organization that he died leading and supporting, not the imams. Mosque Cares, because the mosque should care about the economic situation of our people. The mosque should care that we don't have establishment. The mosque should care that we don't have a relief fund for our people, that we don't have business rights for our people, that we don't have commercial rights for our people, that we don't have a financial system for our people, because it's still a big bar, and in some cases steal from others to do for us that which we should do for self. Can have and can't do without. Must have and can't do without, in the words of Imam Mubashir Akkar. Comrade in arms, using the battle to fight Satan. I'm going to go out on the street with him under my leadership and go neighborhood to neighborhood, district to district, city to city, and invite all of you to be in Philadelphia at the Sister Clara Muhammad School. I invite all of you to be there next week while I will give an address. I will give an address. I'm trying to find the address of the Clara Muhammad School there in Philadelphia. We will be... It is at May 16th and the 17th, New Africa Center, okay, symposium, Sunday, May 17th, focusing on the life and time of Malcolm X, Minister Malcolm, with special guest panelists, Imam Muhammad Abdul Alim, Imam Amin Nafari, Imam Mustafa El-Amin, Imam Ismail Qadar, Imam Kenneth Nuruddin, Minister Rodney Muhammad, Imam Alfred Muhammad, followed by question at Sister Clara Muhammad School, 4700 Wiseland Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It is Wyalusing Avenue. We're going to have panel discussions on the life of Minister Malcolm. And I'm going to figure in his relationship with Imam Muhammad, his relationship with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what he has to say to you. It's going to be a very, I would invite all of you to be there. There's going to be a lot of panelists. But I'm certainly going to tell you a lot of things. I'm going to reveal some things that Imam Muhammad told me. And I'm going to take an oath from the Quran. If I'm telling others the truth, I ask Allah to strike me dead. See, we can't have people talk about what Imam Muhammad told them, and they're not willing to take that kind of oath. Because Imam Muhammad is not here to challenge it. In some cases, he told them in private. But most of what he said in private can be verified in public. He didn't just say it to me. He said it to other people. And let me also share with you, I'm not going to just give up secrets that's going to cause harm to the people. I'm not just talking for the sake of talking. I want to talk for the sake of resurrecting educational life for us, resurrecting business life for us, resurrecting cultural life for us, resurrecting governmental life, resurrecting moral life for our people. intellectual life for our people, spiritual life to get us under the guidance of God towards the spirit of community life. That's our whole purpose. And that's the nature of what we're discussing. We want to discuss that. I'm not going to give away my subject now, but you all come and be with us there in Philadelphia. I understand I also will be a guest where they would dedicate where Temple number 12 used to be, when Imam Muhammad, as I would say, brought the origin of Islam in America. He started the Islamic movement in America for Islam. As Brother Minister Nathaniel Muhammad said, my brother, as he said, Wallace, taught Islam, and daddy taught Islam. Islam and Islam are two different things. Islam, on the Ambulance of Muhammad, was a cleanup message. It was a wake-up message. It was an introductory message. But his intention was to make us a community of Muslims. And Islam was the development of that message, using the nature that God had created for the human being. It had been restored in Imam Muhammad. And then he was able to pick up the Quran, and he was the most perfected one among us, and we are the most perfected of the earth, the people on the earth, open to the Quran. Don't say it was just the Quran that saved Imam Muhammad. He said it wasn't. He said it was my nature, because it was just the Quran. Saddam Hussein would have gotten it. Osama bin Laden would have gotten it. Dr. Ayman Zahari would have gotten it. And a whole lot of others would have gotten it. But God restored our nature, that Adamic nature, that Muhammad nature. And when he had that nature with the word of God reaching his soul, being prepared adequately, he was able to bring a message out of powerful human enlightenment, powerful economic philosophy, powerful cultural refinement, powerful governmental order, powerful concept that make a new people, a new world, and fulfilling the scripture where it says, I, John, on the Isle of Patmos, saw a new heaven, new government, new mind, and a new earth, thus new Africa. David, our people, we are on the pentacle. We are on the precipice of a new economy. A new world where we're going to go from the farm, raising organic food. I'm telling you, I would like you all to join and support my vision. Support me, because all I can do and all I will do is rally the people to Imam Wazir Imam. I don't see any leader on earth right now doing it. I don't see any leader. I'm just a voice in the community. There are others are doing things, but I am the voice. I listen to these other programs. There's nobody on earth right now saying what I'm saying, because I'm echoing exactly what Imam Muhammad said. There's some of you know all Imam Muhammad's tapes. There's some of you can read all kinds of volume. You got books and books, but you haven't taught one person. You don't try to reach people. We're reaching people. We're reaching people who never heard our message before. That's what we have to do. We have to popularize Imam Wazir Imam. I agree with a brother, Imam Wali Ali. Huh? Petrol Dollar got 35,000 people there. And Milana, we should have 70,000. Not for numbers' sake, because our message is more powerful than Petrol Dollar. Our message is more powerful than TDJ. All we got to do is take it to the people, and with your support, you'll help put me on radio. Don't sit behind my back and criticize me. Don't sit behind my back and hold on your hands. Don't do that. Allah will punish you for that. That's not right. See, I'm preaching my heart out. And all, if you find one word what I'm saying other than Imam Muhammad, I'll say, brother, you're right. But you know for a fact And our African Americans never heard Imam Muhammad. They know, they said, this sounds right. Why did it sound right? Because Paul Coffey would agree with me. They know that A.G. Gaston would agree with me. They know that Murder Cobb being wrong would agree with me. They know that Booker D. Washington would agree with me because they are part of the same spirit. Flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood, bone of my bone. The same spirit. All those people I mentioned wanted establishment, wanted business life for the sake of God to establish our people. Obviously, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Obviously, Honorable Marcus Mosiah Godley. Obviously, those people. But I'm bringing obscure figures that most of you don't know about. Paul Coffey in the day of slavery, wanted business establishments so he could free people and buy them out of slavery. There were others just like that. Owned up businesses so they could buy people out of slavery. Supported Harriet Tubman. Supported Sojourner Truth. Supported great leaders. A.G. Gaston helped finance Dr. King's movement. That's the kind of business people we want. You all who business people in our community, you professionals in our community, you all should be sponsoring buses to Chicago. You should be sponsoring young people in the neighborhood. You should be inviting the Freddie Grays. You should be inviting the children that just graduated from high school. Come and be at a Muslim convention and hear the best minds of our people. Not the minds that have been destroyed that Allen Ginsberg talked about, saying, I've seen the best minds of my generation starve, naked, dragged through the Negro streets at dawn, looking for an angry fix. That's what Allen Ginsberg said. We talk about the best minds of our people and of our times. You should be encouraging them to come so they can see, educating, let them be educated not only for their soul, for their mind, for our spirit, for our will, so they can go out on Labor Day weekend and go forth from Tenley Park and go back into our neighborhoods and be rejuvenated and build schools, build businesses, build cultural and entertainment centers, build political clubs so we can elect people to the Senate, so we can elect people to the state legislature, so we can elect people to the presidency of the United States. Don't you know we should be ready by now to have a president coming from Muslim American loins, from our society? Yes, we should. And we're going to do it. We're not going to stop until it happens. We're going to keep on preaching. We're going to keep on teaching. We're going to keep on pushing. We're not going to stop until it happens. We cannot stop now, and we cannot be stopped now. We're going to make sure that we open up grocery stores. We're going to make sure that we get together the business people. We're already starting right now, teaching right even to my son, Joseph Muhammad, who's a young, outstanding businessman. Read the Wall Street Journal. Thinking about business. Said he wanted to be a trillionaire. I said, I'm going to keep him away from anybody going to tell him he can't achieve it. Ready to cuss him out. Build the highest aspiration. Oh, you don't want to be no trillionaire. You damn right he wants to be a trillionaire. For what? To finance Tuskegee. To finance this. To finance other business people. That's what we want. We want mountains. We see people come in this country broke. All they needed was an address of the African American, and they have established themselves on our back. I don't get mad at them. I'm glad at them. Now, why shouldn't we have a right to the tree of life? Why shouldn't we have a right to the spirit to develop? I know what stops us. Envy, jealousy, lying, dishonesty. Those are the impediments. Speak to them. Tell the enemy he's a liar. Tell the slave mouth he's a liar. Tell those false ideas in your head you're going to go to hell. I'm going to de-niggerize you. I mean, write it out. I talk to myself every day. Some people I have to deal with, I get revulsions. I get the spasms thinking of them. But I said, well, the goal of work is an objective. Do I have to work with this person? Then I find out I have to work with them and that we're going to build a community And dear beloved people, if we commit ourselves to that, if we're determined with that, if we have a will for that, if we have a spirit for that, God will be with us. We're going to close the program out. Anybody have questions or comments, I feel open to taking questions or comments. Press 1 on your phone and you will be answered. Anything you disagree with, feel free. Don't go behind our back. Talk about us. Just come and tell us right here on the program. If not, we expect you to send donations to us. Religion means alive. Don't be afraid to send donations to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Hey, we need that. We want to expand. We want to buy time on regular radio. We want to buy time on television. We want to buy time on regular radio stations so we can reach more people. So if you will support us, if you will work with us, and tomorrow we're going to have Brother Wali Akbar Muhammad. You know, let me say something to you about this multi-level marketing thing. You know, there are people who come to me, and I made the strict policy. I don't advertise any multi-level marketing products at all on my program. I don't knock it. The same people who are promoting it, may Allah bless them. I'm not going to promote none of these programs. I'm not going to. Reason I'm not promoting it, if it didn't originate with one of us African-Americans from the beginning, I'm not giving one penny to it, and I won't give no promotion. And why I say that, where were you all when Imam Muhammad did Salam Nutrition? All of a sudden, all these schemes are coming up now post-Imam Wahdeen Muhammad. I put them on Facebook. All of a sudden, I'm belabored. But people asking me to join. I said, no. I said, once the one, I say to all, I'm not involved in any multi-level marketing programs. I repeat, if you have something that benefits us all, then I support it. Hold 1 minute, please. Please hold 1 moment. Excuse us. We're going to have some comments. Brother Alfred Muhammad. Okay. I'm sorry. Please forgive us. We had to go someplace. 805-727-7013. If you'd like to make comments or had a question for us. Again, I want to invite everybody to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, those who are in the Philadelphia area. We want to invite you to come. So we are on the air. Religion means alive. Again, like I said, I just wanted to finish up. Just wanted to finish up by saying our reason for not supporting multi-level marketing is not a problem for us. We don't wish you envy and jealousy upon any of you all. But we just don't want to promote things that is not involving us. That's your personal decisions, fine. But let's not bring it to the public, our public. That's the problem in our community today. We got everybody promoting something other than our community. And that's why there's so much confusion here. Nobody. One thing I respect about Minister Farrakhan, if you're not talking Minister Farrakhan's Nation of Islam, you're not going to have a hard time promoting that. Yes, we have a call from 202.
Yes, sir. Thank you again. This is Brother Imam Alfred in the Jersey area.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Listen, I'm one who has been blessed to visit all of the crime scenes that you have seen on the news. Lately, I have been able to visit from Sanford, Florida, and I dueled out with an old wooden tooth judge by the name of Robert Zimmerman over his son, George Zimmerman. And on up, I took me and my troops into Staten Island in New York City, 4 and 5 and 6 trips in and out of Ferguson and St. Louis. And I was blessed, Brother Imam Alfred, and your audience of greetings to you all of Assalamu Alaikum and power to the people.
Walaikum Assalam.
So the blessing that I came into was that I was able to build a 4M technology to observe some of these incidents and to try to come with some form of an ultimatum. As you know, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, the honorable Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Malcolm, in many instances, they spoke in ultimatums. If you do this, then we'll do that. But if we do this, you must do that. If you won't give me justice in the courtroom, we will not ride your bus. We will carpool for justice. We will stop picking up your garbage until we can get a better job or a better circumstances in the court, or better housing if you do this, or we'll sit at your lunch counter until we can sit where we damn well please. But on this strength, the ultimatum I developed, it tells us a little bit about each incident, but I'll try to give you the conclusion to make it very short, that it says that 98.4% of all police precincts that has been fed into this database, which is the center of this particular algorithm, the same concept that causes Facebook, Yahoo, and Google to function, this algorithm says that 98.4% of most of these police precincts across America are corrupt. And it also says that the 1.6 that may not be as corrupt has been exposed to corruption for a prolonged period of time, which it may go along with a deception or some other form of corruption. My solution is, again, Ronald Reagan-based, that when the air traffic controllers went on strike against Ronald Reagan and his government, he fired everything that was black, white, that was not out of sight before midnight. On Monday morning, he fired them all, retrained the air traffic controllers, and didn't lose a passenger. But I'm here to bear witness to you all that I can help and assist, I can lead and assist in cleaning all of these police departments. The Imam Wada Fadim Muhammad, when he saw the malfeasance and abuse of power, he said none of them are fit for public service. And I give the echo of Imam Wada Fadim Muhammad today that these men and women are not fit for public service, from the Human Resource Department on into the rogue officers, sergeants, lieutenants, captains, majors. I'm saying you clean house from the highway patrol to the undercover officers, from the sheriff's department to the MPD, and I guarantee you can retrain and hire from within the community in which they service and produce jobs right in the black community in the South. It is something you want to look at. They thought that Ronald Reagan was out of his mind, but I'll tell you that I see the formula on the computer system, and the computer says it works, and I'll back the findings of this computer, and I say it'll work. So, beloved brother and sister, I just love you. I love you, Brother Imam Alfred. And I date back to the Chicago days when Imam Wada Fadim Muhammad was sending his troops out in the Imam Ibrahim Kamaluddin down Texas, Imam Ibrahim Pasha on into Atlanta, Imam Qasim and others out to Florida, Atlanta, and Dallas, with Imam Yahya Abdullah in Dallas, and on down Imam Qasim again, moving the troops in and teach them Arabic language, teaching them masjid etiquette, and so forth. All these imams in various cities. I was a student under the Imam Sultan. I worked for Honorable Herbert Muhammad, manager of Muhammad Ali. I cooked for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, baking the bean pie and the eat bread for the city of Chicago. We did it so swell, we put it in the jewel markets for the white man Zionist Jew. We put it in the supermarket, our own, your supermarket, your clothing, your Shabazz Bakery, 7th, 9th, and Brenner. And we put our money in our own bank, all praise to Allah. Put our money, Elijah Muhammad money and my money, went in the same bank, and it felt good, brother and sister. And I'm encouraging you in this hour to back some sensible solution. Imam Wesley Muhammad said, find yourself in the middle of the question for truth and justice in this hour. And I guarantee you we will make a change when we have divine justice speaking from North Charleston, South Carolina, speaking from the city of Baltimore. As the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad said, we have to have some black laws if we intend to have a protection on our citizens, brothers and sisters. And you see the city councilman writing the black law as a man, Mr. Mosley, and his wife enforcing that law in this hour. It's wake-up juice, brother and sister, and I pray a lot that you go to work where you are and make a difference so they can stop the killing, this bad results of killing our young men, women, and children. I thank you, Brother Al, for allowing me to share a few words of encouragement in this hour. If you have any question or comment, I'm right here on your line.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anybody else like John, they can make comments. Thank you, my dear brother. I've been knowing you for years. You're a real soldier of the good work.
You're a soldier now, brother. You're doing a wonderful job, Al. You sound so sweet and strong. May Allah continue to bless you and your audience. Assalamu alaikum and power to the people.
Well, alaikum assalam. With your prayers, I will. And I also would say to you, the only thing you fooled me with was the 202 area code. I'm getting a call from the government. I'm doing it out. But the government in exile. That's right. Anyone else like to make comments or questions while we wait on that, you can send your donations to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. 07036. Some of us think these programs are free. Blog Talk, it's not free. We have to pay these people. We have to pay for other things. So send your donations. We're going to be in Chicago at the Mosque Cares. We will be in Chicago for the Mosque Cares Ramadan session. Again, we have to pay our transportation for these events. So whatever you donate, you will help us. Whatever you donate, we want to go on a radio station on the bigger cities so we can reach more people. Don't be afraid to join support what we're doing. Any other questions or responses? Thank you, my dear brother. We really appreciate
you.
We love you greatly.
Thank you.
Any others would like to make a contribution or comment? 805-727-7013. We tried to use up the hour and a half, but I think we're pretty much finished. Tomorrow we have Wally Akbar on. He's going to be talking about the life of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, his pictures. So with that, dear beloved people, unless you have something else, I'm going to close the broadcast out by saying peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive.